Hello?
Yes, John Peeler in?
Yes, who is this?
Yeah, hi, my name is Don Sweat. I work with Pastor Tony Alamo and Alamo Ministries.
Hey, yeah. I called earlier and talked to a lady named Joan.
Right.
Okay, but what was your name again?
Don Sweat.
My hearing is kind of bad. Don Sweat?
Sweat, S-W-E-A-T, yes,
okay,
sir.
Okay, okay. Oh, that's fine. My hearing's kind of bad, and I got a guy working on my house here in North Little Rock, Don. But anyway, what the deal is, did you get a chance to listen to the tape, sir?
No, I haven't, but I understand that you wanted someone else to call you. You had some more information.
That's right, but I'm saying, okay, I volunteered and worked undercover for the United States government, and I had the best intentions in the world. You know what I'm saying? Okay, in 1988, you know, the Klan was burning black churches and stuff.
Right.
Here in Arkansas and in surrounding southern areas and stuff. Hold on just a minute. I've got to set off the stove here. Hold on a minute.
Okay.
But anyway, what I'm saying is, anyway, it's a real, real, real complicated mess. But I would like for you to pray for my son and myself. But anyway, I'm no longer with the United States government. The only way I'm with the government now is they're harassing me on a regular basis and trying to figure out some way to put me in jail or something. The FBI came to my home a few weeks ago and threatened me, and then they forced me to go down and take a polygraph test, and I took a polygraph test and I passed it because they're real upset because I no longer do deals for them. But they did me really dirty is what they did. And what happened, I volunteered, went undercover for the government in 1988. They had a list of people. They had me to get to know these people, you know, get involved with them, and then find out all about them. But most of the people who were on the list were really bad people. You know what I'm saying, Don?
Yes.
Most of these people, I mean, were like heads of the, like Wilbur Hale is the high finished priest of the KKK. Okay? Him and Richard Wayne Snell, and let me tell you what precipitated my conversation with you. What happened? I get Tony Alamo's letter, and most of the time, sometimes I look at him better than others. But this last one, when I read it about the Pearl Harbor thing,
right,
it sent shivers through my spine. It really did, because I was involved with a lot of the things that he's talking about in there, and I know for a fact that he's 100% correct. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
See, Pearl Harbor, I've got a college degree at the University of Arkansas, but I'm working on my master's degree in history now, so I study and learn a lot of history, because if you don't study it, you're destined to repeat it. So anyway, on Pearl Harbor, the deal was, the president, a lot of the high-ranking officers knew that it was going to happen, but we didn't want to go to war against the Germans, but we'd go to war against the Japanese, so they knowingly allowed the attack on Pearl Harbor to happen where we could go into World War II. See, the same thing happened on the World Trade Center. Okay, what happened when I was involved with the government? I started out slow. I became a member of the Invisible Empire, the Ku Klux Klan, the Aryan Nation, all these things. I mean, I don't believe in what they believe. Don't get me wrong, Don. I thought I was helping God and country. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I thought I was, you know, I knew some black people that had their church that was burnt down here in Little Rock. I knew them personally, some of the people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. And anyway, I knew that was totally wrong, burning churches down and suppressing people just because of the color of their skin and stuff. So anyway, I'm not a white supremacist or anything. So anyway, I'm a Christian person, but I belong to a non-denominational church. But anyway, I've heard of Tony Alamo off and on for many years and stuff. But in 1988, when I started the government, Tony Alamo was one of the guys that's been on the government hit list, since, to my knowledge, since 1988. And, you know, most of these people on the list, you can understand why they're on the list, Don. You know, the leader of the Aryan Nation, the leader of the KKK, Finnish priesthood. You know what you have to do to be a Finnish priest of the KKK, Don?
No.
You have to murder two people in cold blood they tell you to murder. And I put over a dozen of those people in federal prison. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So I thought I was doing a good thing. But toward the end of my government involvement and stuff, what happened is, see, I even went with some federal agents to Alma, Arkansas, and ate at some restaurants there and talked to some of the followers of Tony Alamo and stuff. But the people I talked to, only one town person in the whole town of Alma, Arkansas, told me that they thought he was running the cult. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
What they just said was their personal opinion. They didn't have nothing to back it up. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, I mean, I didn't go and pursue it. I didn't become a member of the Tony Alamo Foundation or anything because I had bigger fish to fry. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But anyway, I can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt these people that I was involved in, most of them were involved in crimes and stuff. But I mean, like the head leader of the Phineas Priest of the KKK, and another guy named, Lane LaRue, and another one named Mike Ash, I was forced to frame these three Aryan Nation and KKK leaders. I was forced to frame them. But during my tenure of involvement with the government, what happened? Okay, I met Tim Tuttle, also known as Timothy James McVeigh, five different times. I went to the Oklahoma City Federal Building. I helped, I hope God forgives me, but the government swore to me they were going to stop the bombing before it happened. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
But anyway, I was actively involved in the bombing of the Oklahoma Federal Building. In fact, about a year ago, the BBC, British Broadcasting Channel, Channel 4, the largest channel in the world, before Timothy James McVeigh got executed, through his lawyers and his investigators and stuff, they got in touch with me and talked to me. But they figured he was involved, so they couldn't save him or anything, so they didn't have me go to court. But anyway, one of my main things with the government, I refused to do certain deals for them, and one of the deals I refused to do for them was to target and entrap and frame Tony Alamo. And as a result of that, they tried to frame me for murder and put me in jail for murder in 1995, sir. And the main reason they were unsuccessful is because of the time the alleged offense, I had been shot. It was, most of the agents didn't know it, and I was still in the hospital in an oxygen tent at the time they gave the alleged offense. They were unable to frame me, so they framed my youngest son. This is the character holding over my head, but my son told me this last Sunday when I visited him not to let it bother me anymore, to tell the whole world about it if I want to. But see, my son was an Eagle Scout, a Lance Corporal in the Marine Corps, a Christian kid, never did any dope or anything in his life, only had two traffic violations in his entire life. They tried to frame me and were unsuccessful, so they framed my youngest son here in Arkansas for prison. He's doing life without for murder. There's no body. There's no weapon. There's no blood. There's no hair. There's no forensic evidence. There's no eyewitnesses. They're just two people that the government got to come forward, and the two people are my ex-wife and his estranged wife, that they forced them to say that he said that he murdered a person. There is no evidence, sir. I mean, people that I talk to, a lot of people don't believe me, but I've got the newspaper articles and the court transcripts about the case and stuff. But the reason my son was framed is because there was Tony Alamo and there was a communist leader. There were three people that I refused to target, entrap, and frame for the government. So the government, I become persona non grata. They tried to frame me and were unsuccessful. So they framed my youngest son for murder. He's doing life without the prison. A company from California came to prison where he had to do a movie about him. And the night before, they had permission there at that prison, Grady, Arkansas, Varner. So the night before they came, they transferred him to another prison, and now he's at Brickley, Arkansas, in the northeast corner of Arkansas up there now. And I'm not blaming Tony Alamo. He didn't have nothing to do with it. It's all my involvement with the government and stuff that messed the whole thing up. You know what I'm saying? But, for example, Bill Buford and Glenn Jordan, two of the agents with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms out of the TCBY building in Little Rock, I worked a lot with them. But anyway, we were talking about the book of Revelation, the most misunderstood book of the Bible. But anyway, before they went to Waco, to Mount Carmel, they told me that they did not plan to take David Koresh alive. The whole plan was to kill David Koresh and as many of his followers as they could. You see what I'm saying? They called it, they said they were going to, maybe God will forgive me, but I volunteered to go. They called it a turkey shoot that they were going to. You see what I'm saying? But I had volunteered earlier to go down there to help get David Koresh away from the compound and to help target him and trap him, you know, and frame him, because they told me what an evil person he was and stuff, and they alleged he was a child molester and stuff. They probably didn't do nothing, you know what I'm saying, to get on the wrong side of the government. But anyway, before they went down there, I sit there in the office and talked to them about it. They told me they were going to kill him. You know what I'm saying? David Koresh was going to be dead before the deal was over with. That was a sure deal that they were going to do. Okay, 3 weeks before, one of the reasons they had me, pardon me, I need a drink, water. But anyway, before the Oklahoma bombing, I had a bad feeling about it. So I wrote letters to the President of the United States, and the governor of Arkansas and all different kind of governor of Oklahoma, and said, told them that on Patriots Day, that Richard Wayne Snell and these different people, Klan leaders and stuff, had planned to blow up the Oklahoma federal building. And the government, we had busted a lot of these people, and the government jumped in on the bandwagon. See, they were, the Cold War was ending in Russia and so forth, and they were about to, because of Ruby Ridge and different deals that the government had done, they were about to combine the BATF with the FBI. The BATF didn't want that. So just like Pearl Harbor, they knowingly allowed the deal to go through and the people to be involved. But I met with Muslim people. The third guy that was involved that they never caught or captured or anything was a Muslim fella that was the money man on the deal. But his English was not very good. My English is not very good either, but his was bad. And he had a heavy accent, so they never got him or never wanted to get him because the government knew who he was. And he was working, obviously, both sides of the fence anyway, which a lot of people are. In fact, Timothy James McVeigh, we call him Tim Tuttle was the name he went by. The BBC, he told them, through his lawyer and through his investigator, that I was more involved and knew more about the Oklahoma bombing and what really happened than he did. That's why the BBC sent a camera crew and came to my home here in North Little Rock and filmed me for 3 hours. We went to some of the buildings here in town that they had planned to blow up on the same day that they didn't blow up, because these buildings were well guarded and they didn't allow them to be blown up. The Arkansas State Capitol and the TCBY building were supposed to be blown up on the same day. But anyway, the Klan joined up in 1990. These Klan leaders, they were losing membership and losing money. So they, Wilbur Hale went to Saudi Arabia and got in with some terrorist leaders and got them to help him out because they both hate the Jews and want to overthrow the United States government. But then anyway, the government, I helped bust a lot of these people, so the government, instead of stopping the deal, they jumped in on the bandwagon and helped the deals to happen and helped them to happen better than what they would have happened. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
They helped them better. In fact, I had to go and get manuals in El Dorado, Arkansas, to a store down there. I bought them a whole suitcase full of manuals on how to make bombs and explosives and stuff and terroristic tactics and stuff that the government gave me the money and had me to go buy to help Timothy James McVeigh to make the ampho bomb that he manufactured. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, the government is heavy involved in this deal. Okay, so 3 weeks before Oklahoma, I write letters to all these people about it's going to happen. Okay, and then, like the FBI said a month ago, am I with the psychic hotline? No, I'm not with the psychic hotline, but I said, well, maybe I didn't give them enough time. 3 months before the 9/11 World Trade Center attack, I wrote a letter to Mayor Giuliani, the President of the United States, the Director of the CIA, the Pentagon, and about a dozen other government officials, and told them the deal was going to happen in the 1st of September. They're going to attack the World Trade Center, and they're going to do it the way they promised they were going to do it in the Turner Diaries. You probably never read the Turner Diaries, but the way the Turner Diaries ends is they steal an airplane and get a suitcase. This is a KKK publication they got out about how they take over the United States with the Rayho Wa. You know what the Rayho Wa is?
No, I know.
That's good. That means you don't know a lot about the Klan, which is good for me. But anyway, the Rayho Wa means the racial and holy war. See, that's the game plan that the government jumped on. If these people are trying to start a racial and holy war, which they're trying to do, but the government jumped on the bandwagon and is helping it happen. You know, now it's the United States in the Christian world. They're trying to make it into the Christian world against the Muslim world. But like the BBC said, the head director of the BBC, the guy John Sargent, the guy that came to visit me with the BBC, the name of the tape they did, it's about a 30-minute tape. I'm going to try to get a copy and try to get it to you, sir.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, the BBC tape, I'm only on it for 3 or 4 minutes. But everybody I told them about, which amazed me, they went and talked to these people at Elohim City in Oklahoma, the KKK compound, and they told them a whole lot of information about the thing and what happened on Oklahoma and about Timothy James McVeigh and how the deal really happened and how the government was more involved than they were. See, they started the ball rolling, and then the government, we busted these people, we framed them, they jumped in on the bandwagon, and they knowingly allowed it and helped it happen and went out of their way to help it happen. I can prove that the United States government agents were involved in Oklahoma bombing, in the World Trade Center 1 and 2 attacks, the night, both attacks, and that the federal agents were involved in the Waco murders. And I've told this information, wrote it to senators and congressmen and different people, and all they do is send the FBI and give me all these polygraph tests and talk to me and tell me to shut up or something's going to happen to my son. And my son told me to quit being afraid of him and to tell anybody I wanted to tell about it. So when I got this newsletter the other day in my post office box from the Tony Alamo telling about the Pearl Harbor thing,
right,
it just sent shivers through me that he's so 100% correct and that most of the people in America refuse to believe it, you know what I'm saying, and that he's just 100% on the ball knowing what's happening. I'm sure God, he's a godly inspired man from what the people I've talked to and so forth, the things I've read about it. But besides that, he's just 100%, you know, with what I know about the secular world and what's really happening, what the government's doing, he's just 100% right on the mark. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, I do.
And the government, I'm sure they're going to go over after they read this. And, you know, they read this stuff on a regular basis. I mean, when I was in the BATF office, the FBI office, the ATF office, they sit around and read his literature on a regular basis, and we probably got something right here, but hold on, let me talk to him. But anyway, what happened, I got a guy working on my house, sir, excuse me.
Sure.
Anyway, what happened was, I would like to talk to you people, you can do an article about it, you can take a photograph, film, movie, whatever you want to do, but I think it would be interesting if the American people really knew that Pastor Tony Alamo is 100% right, and there are all these government conspiracies that are really happening.
Right.
You see what I'm saying, Don?
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, what do you think, Don? I mean, I got papers, I got newspaper articles where they even said that I framed people in federal court. You know, that agent John Gary Peeler framed Tom Peterson, tried to frame Tom Peterson for a crime. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. I got this BBC tape where we're talking about the Oklahoma bombing. You know what I'm saying? And when I'm talking to BBC guys, it's right before the 911 attack. And we're talking about the 911 attack that's going to happen. And they're debating on whether they needed to go by and take movies of the World Trade Center before it happens. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, there's all these government conspiracies, and the name of their tape that they did, the BBC, John Sargent's the one who made this up. It's called The Secret Rulers of the World, The New World Order, was what it was about. The name of the movie, that the 30-minute made for TV for the British Channel 4, the largest channel in the world. But to my knowledge, they did not show this 30-minute tape or movie in the United States. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because the United States media is very controlled by the government. Even the media right here in Arkansas, you can't get anything done without the government knowing about it and trying to put the stops to it. That's why they want to publish this thing about this little girl, this woman in California, that her husband killed and stuff. But my son is a totally 100% innocent, and none of the media wants to jump on his case, because the government just totally framed him because of me, and to try to get me to shut up and to quit telling people like you about what they're really doing.
Right.
Yeah. Well, what do you think, Don?
Okay, I believe it all,
But I'm saying, is there anything I can do to help your organization or help you out? Or can you write or do anything about it to try to help my son out?
Well, I'm sure the pastor... Yeah, I'm sure the Pastor Lamo can really help, you know, expose this. And
I want you to tell him right now, before I forget it, to be as careful as he can and protective as he can, because the government might even assassinate him over this article that he did. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, watch the way they do it. For example, they have someone that's real good in fixing your car.
Yeah.
This is one of the deals they did a long time ago on a person that I knew. They went to, you got the person's car, and they put a big screwdriver inside the tubeless tire of the car. And this guy had a Corvette and drove it really fast. So when he was going around the curve, the screwdriver rolled around there for one, made a little noise and stuff, but a Corvette makes a lot of noise anyway. So anyway, when he was making a turn, the screwdriver came through the tire, and he rolled off a curve and killed himself. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I'm saying, there's stuff they can put in your drink, like, for example, Castro. They tried to get people and send them down there to put LSD and every kind of mind-altering drugs in his ice cream or in his drinks or whatever.
Right.
So just tell Tony Alamo, after this last article he did where he's 100% on the mark, and where it shows the government and the special agents and things for doing what they're doing is totally corrupt and outrageous, that he needs to be extremely careful nowadays. Because they have killed people for, the United States government has killed people for less.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But anyway, is there anything you can do to publish an article about the things I'm telling you, or about my son's case, or can listen to the tapes or whatever, or I can talk to some of your people sometime?
I'm sure they can. I'll definitely get all this information to Pastor Lamo, and I'm sure that there's something that can be done. What they hate is exactly what Pastor Lamo has done in this last track, is to be exposed.
That's it. You're 100% right. They really, it's just like when you turn a light on, the roaches in the room go and hide under the furniture and things or something, because the light, they're afraid something's going to happen to them. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And the government's the same thing. But when someone's afraid, that's when they're the most dangerous.
Right.
And the government, they've had a targeted list. The list is verbal. They don't publish it. They just tell you the names of the people. And every list that's ever come out that I've talked to them in the, I go and meet, when I was undercover, I went on a, well, whenever they called me on my pager or my cell phone, but I went on a regular basis and met them at different locations and different buildings, different parking lots and bridges and different places and stuff. And Tony Alamo, every time they've read a list off of people that they really want, he's been on nearly every list that they told me about, of people that they're interested in and would like me to target and get to know and get into and frame it. And one of the things they do now is one of the guys I know named Gregory Holt, I don't know where he is now, I think the feds have put him in jail for something, because he went around trying to expose the feds and write notices and letters about what they're doing and stuff. But anyway, Gregory Holt, the government got him on some bogus charges and stuff, this guy I know. And what they did, they wanted him to get, well, they wanted him to do Tony Alamo too, but the way they wanted him to do it is they wanted him to get in with a Tony Alamo mission and to put child pornography on Tony Alamo's computer. You see what I'm saying? To try to discredit him with child pornography.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, that's one of the easiest things to do nowadays. I've never done that thing. I'm an old guy, I'm 54, sir, and I'm not into computers. But I'm saying he's a younger guy and into computers. But some of these people that they wanted him to do deals on, they wanted him to get in their home computers and stuff and to get child pornography on their computers. Anyway, do you have my name and number, Don?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Do you have any questions you'd like to ask me?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, please do.
Okay, on the proof. What kind of proof do we have on this? Because as you notice in the literature, Pastor Lamo really documents.
Right, that's good. He does. Yeah. But anyway, I've got some newspaper articles. I've got some receipts where I was paid by the government to go to certain cases and stuff. And let me think of what else I've got. But I'm saying you can call the government and talk to them yourself about me. What I'm saying? You can talk to some of the people I framed. The BBC, when they got here, one of the things they said, well, did you really work for the government and frame these people? Well, I said, yes, I did. And they said, well, how can we prove it? I said, well, I'll tell you what, we'll make it real easy. I said, why don't you call one of the main leaders of the Ku Klux Klan that I framed? And they said, okay. So they got on their cell phone, they called him up, and they said, well, did John Gary Thieler work undercover for the United States government, Bureau of Alcohol? Well, yeah, I worked for a task force, and the task force was made of the CIA, the FBI, the DEA, and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms is made by all of them. But the BATF used me a whole lot to do deals on guns and stuff, because guns is the easy way to frame people, firearm charges and stuff, especially Klan members and white supremacists and stuff, because a lot of them were heavily into firearms and so forth. So they called Wilbur Hale, one of the guys that I admitted to framing. So see, I wanted to get him legally, the one to kill the president, overthrow the government, and blow up buildings and stuff. The government didn't wait that long. They wanted to get him off the street right now, so they got him on this firearm charge. So I had to help him manufacture, what an M16 is?
Yeah.
Okay. I helped him buy the parts and manufacture an M16 assault weapon, fully automatic, and then we busted him. And then I bought it from him and we busted him for it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, they called him up, and he told them the same thing I told him. And he said, well, he got you put in federal prison. He said, yes, he did. He got about 17 of my closest friends put in federal prison, too. You know what I'm saying? The BBC, they said, how could they authenticate it that I really did it? So they just called up some of the people that I'd put in federal prison on my undercover deals, which was easy to do.
Right.
But anyway, I won't just drop a letter in the... But anyway, I've got newspaper articles where it says, out of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, where it says Special Agent John Gary Peeler tried to frame Tom Peterson for a firearm charge. That's an old, other known story in itself. He's a white supremacist that was trying to assassinate Bill Clinton. And it comes very damn close to doing it. But anyway, they wanted to put him out of the way before he was successful at it. So anyway, when we went to court, the Secret Service went with me to court, and they let the guy slide. They let me say certain things, but wouldn't let me use Clinton's name or say that he was trying to assassinate Bill Clinton, because Clinton at this time did not need any more bad publicity. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
But the guy was trying to assassinate Bill Clinton, but they wouldn't let that come out in any of the newspaper or television or articles about it or anything. But they say that Special Agent John Gary Peeler, they got my name spelled right and everything. In fact, they put me on TV. The way I got shot is, I didn't know it, but I was on TV on a Channel 7 news, and they said that John Gary Peeler, and even gave my address, and said that I was an undercover agent of the federal government, and that I had done a deal against Tom Peterson. They said this on TV, and that's how I ended up getting shot. But the only good thing about getting shot is because I was in an oxygen tent at the time they gave for the lead defense, and most people didn't know about it, but I was still in the hospital at that time. Or see, I would be down in prison with my son, who's totally innocent. But I'm saying, you have my permission to check any of this stuff out, and there are different ways of verifying and stuff, like the BBC. We went to the BATF office in the TCBY building to talk to them, and they refused to talk to us, of course. But the only thing they did tell the BBC News people is that, yes, I had worked for them. But I'm saying, you can call these government activists, and they'll tell you that I did it. There's newspaper articles, there's TV shows and stuff that I've had it and stuff. I'm going to send you just a little letter in the mail, and I'll try to make it out to you and Pastor Alamo, and I'm going to drop it in the mail today. But I'm saying, you're welcome to have your people to come by with a TV crew. I'll send you any information you want about my son's case, about my case, and about my government involvement. You can check it all out. You can check it out with the government, and I'm sure it'll make them very angry, and you need to be very careful. But the truth is the truth, Don.
Right.
And I'm saying there are different ways to prove it, and the government tries to make it as hard as they can to prove it. But I've got copies. I'll try to dig them out of my stuff, but I've got copies of pay slips where they paid me to go to court in federal court on a few occasions to testify against people.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I've got copies of newspaper articles that you're welcome to publish about people that I frame.
Right.
You can call the people that I frame and ask them and get copies of their transcripts and see that I'm the undercover guy that framed them.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, you know, you're better at verification than I am. I'll try to help you out in any way I can, because I think God has appointed Tony Alamo to expose the truth of the matter, and the more people that know, you know, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I think that if more people knew the truth, they would change our government a whole lot of ways, and I don't think Bush would be the president of the United States if the people knew the truth.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, it's been a pleasure talking. Do you have any more questions?
Yes,
Okay.
Mr. Peeler, on the...
Like I said, you can send any of your people down. I'll talk to them, I'll make a tape, I'll make a VCR, but the reason that I think it might be important that you do in the not-too-distant future is because, like my wife, I've had one life insurance policy, and my wife wants to take another one out because she has a bad feeling that the government's going to kill me in the very near future. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And so I'm going to have a tragic accident problem, you see, because they'd run like... Kathy Ferguson was a dear friend of mine. Do you know about Kathy Ferguson?
No, I don't.
Okay. She was a very good friend of mine. She went to church every time. She was non-denominational, but she went to church every time the doors were open to the Sherwood Bible Church is where she attended. I went there with her. But anyway, she was married to Danny Ferguson. Danny Ferguson started talking about Troopergate, about Bill Clinton. And when he started talking about Bill Clinton and stuff, she started talking to news people. They were separated at the time, but the news people wanted to talk to her. Have you ever heard of the Clinton Chronicles?
No, I haven't.
Okay, the Clinton Chronicles? Okay, anyway, the Clinton Chronicles, a guy in California wrote a book about 57 people that have been murdered by the Secret Service and various people in order for Clinton to get to power and to stay in power and so forth, and she's about number 52, I think. But anyway, Kathy Ferguson, it's on the internet. I don't have a copy of it. I'd get it to you, but it's on the internet. It's called the Clinton Chronicles. But anyway, Kathy Ferguson was the strange wife of Danny Ferguson, who had been the security guard and helped procure women for Bill Clinton when he was governor of Arkansas. So anyway, what happened as a result of this deal is she's a registered nurse, but she's working as a receptionist at Memorial Hospital over here in North Little Rock, and she was separated from him, getting a divorce, and engaged to a police officer with the Sherwood Police Department. Okay, as a result of her starting to talk to the news media about, they called it Trooper Gate, Arkansas State Troopers procuring women for Clinton,
yeah,
when he was governor. As a result of this, she was right-handed. She allegedly shot herself while the Secret Service investigated me for 8 hours over this deal. But I didn't do it, but I was friends with her over what I was telling the media and stuff about it, you know, because they didn't want it to get out. But anyway, she was a right-handed person. She shot herself in the back. She never owned a firearm in her life. Was engaged to a Sherwood policeman. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay. There's a guy in the background sawing on my house. But anyway, she shot herself in the back, left-hand side of the head, and killed herself, good and dead. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I'm saying it's because they were afraid she knew too much, was going to talk, so the Secret Service had her murdered. But anyway, Kathy Ferguson is number 52 on the Clinton Chronicles of people that were murdered by the Clinton group in order to keep him in power and not get him disgraced. But she had had an affair with Clinton and was ashamed of it, and they was afraid she'd talk about it, so the Secret Service just flat-ass murdered her. And I told them they did a really bad job, because the deal is she was right-handed, they never owned a firearm in her life, and a nurse, and shot herself in the back left-hand side of the head. Nurses have a key to a medicine cabinet. All they got to do is take an overdose and go out the easy way. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Nurses do not, especially if she had been a model and a beauty queen when she was young. People that are models never shoot themselves in the face or head. Very seldom shoot themselves in the face or head, Don. But that's just one of the things that most of the people in America just don't know about, because the government don't want to advertise what happened. And does not want the truth to get out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is there any other questions you have?
Yes, you had mentioned this Gregory Holt, he was, I didn't quite catch that. Well, he was hired?
Okay, he was working undercover for the government, and what they did with him, the government, he did things for the deals for the government, too, just like I did, but I don't think he was as good as I was. But anyway, Gregory Holt, he converted to the Muslim religion in order to get in with the Muslims in Arkansas. He was involved recently in the plot to blow up the Arkansas State. You know, when the war started, there was a group of Muslims that were going to blow up the Arkansas State Capitol. They did not let it happen. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
But he got in with the Muslims and framed some of the Muslim leaders. They didn't let it happen. But see, some things they let happen and some things they don't let happen.
Right.
But anyway, he got in with the Muslims, joined the Muslim Center over in Little Rock, became a Muslim, convinced him that he was a Muslim. And what he did, he was involved with the people that were planning to blow up the Arkansas State Capitol and the TCBY building and the Stevens building here in Little Rock when the war opened up. But they didn't want those three buildings blown up or destroyed or any kind of toxic substance leaked in them. So the people that he framed some people and got them put in jail for this deal, and other people fled and left the country when they found out the fix was in, he was about to get them. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Anyway, right now I don't know where he's at. I think the government's got him and put him in jail or framed him or something, because I haven't been able to get in touch with him recently. So God only knows where he's gone, or he might be in a shallow grave somewhere.
Right, but you anyway, said they wanted him to.
Well, anyway, he was one of the guys that they asked him personally to go and get in with the Tony Alamo, this is a few years ago, to get in with the Alamo Foundation and put pornography on Tony Alamo's computer, is what they specifically wanted him to do, because he's a computer geek type guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What about, that would be just to frame him and to set him up and to malign him. You had mentioned something about assassination.
Right.
Plot against Pastor Alamo?
That's correct. But I'm saying, okay, For example, there's a guy called the Black Santa Claus here in Little Rock in the Arkansas area. I forgot what his real name is, but they call him the Black Santa Claus. Oh, and Robert St. McIntosh is his real name. And he's non-political now, but anyway, when he was very political and against Clinton, okay, what they did with him is they got a guy who was an ex-Green Beret that served in Vietnam, who was a sniper, and they furnished him with a weapon and a lot of money. But the guy was kind of goofy after Vietnam and stuff. His name was Gary Smith was his real name. He was a Green Beret in Vietnam, and I knew the guy, and they fixed him up and wanted him to assassinate Robert St. McIntosh, but he did not go. They gave him a lot of money up front for the deal, but he didn't follow through on the deal and, you know, fled up to the Ozarks somewhere. I don't know where he's at or what he's doing now, but anyway, the government was real up there. He might be in some government prison somewhere or something now. But anyway, they furnished him with a weapon and gave him a lot of money and wanted to assassinate this guy just because he was writing articles against Clinton when Clinton was in power. But anyway, one thing they did to help shut him up also is his son was involved in drugs. So they busted his son for drugs, this black guy with a little black Santa Claus. And then what they did, when everybody was at the Clinton inauguration, the guy, Mr. Jewell, who was a black guy who was the acting governor, under the condition that Robert St. McIntosh, when they couldn't get him assassinated and were unsuccessful at it three different times, government, what they did, they got him, his son, for drugs, and they told him, and he was doing 20 or 40 years, and they told him they were giving him an Arkansas governor's pardon if he would just quit going around, you know, like your people go around and put things on cars, I think he got it from your group of people, you go put things under the windshield wipers on automobiles and stuff, do some of your literature in some parking lots and stuff.
Right.
He was doing the same thing around the federal building downtown Little Rock, but it was anti-Clinton stuff, and it was factual information about things that Clinton had done. So they didn't want him doing that, so they made a deal with him. If he'd shut up and quit publishing stuff about Clinton, that his son was doing 20 or 40 years, had been down in prison for a year, they let him go under the condition that he quit talking about Clinton. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
How it works?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very corrupt system, Don.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you.
Oh, okay. I said, okay. Yeah, I can hear you.
Huh? I can't hear you. Are you still there?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
No, I'm having trouble hearing you.
Hello?
Don.
Yeah.
I'm just barely can hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
No, you're real weak. My hearing's not all that great. I've been around too many explosions and stuff and gunfire. But I can barely hear you. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, now I can hear you better. I don't know what happened.
Okay.
It might be the battery in my phone. I'm on one of these walk-around phones, and walking around my house, the guy's construction working on it, and I'm trying to stay out of his way. It might be this phone, the battery getting weak on it.
Right.
Okay. But anyway, is there anything else you'd like to ask me?
Yeah, I was wondering, do you have any other tapes or documentation, any other information that could be used to document these things? I mean, I believe you 100%.
Right.
You know, and
I'll try to help you out in good things. I had a couple of undercover tapes, but I don't know whether I still got them or something. Some of the undercover deals I did.
Right.
The actual tapes of the deal and the transcripts of the deals I did, but I don't know whether I still got them or not, but I'll look and see. But I'm going to just send you. Like I said, you're welcome to come here and talk to me. I'm going to write a letter right now and take it to the post office and write your name and Tony Alamo's name on it and just send you a little excerpt of some of the information I've got. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
To show you that I'm on the legit, and you can check it out. For example, when I joined the Klan undercover for the government, I had the best intentions now. I joined at 9:02 a.m., April the 19th, 1990. Why did I join up at 9:02 a.m., April the 19th? You know?
No.
Okay. See, they don't want to tell the American people that. That's a historic fact. The first day of the first shot of the first battle of the American Revolution. Okay? What day did they execute Richard Wayne Snell on? April the 19th, 1995. But the last request Richard Wayne Snell had when he got up that morning, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you this letter, and then I'm going to try to get a copy of this tape made, this tape, you know, the 30-minute BBC tape.
Right.
And get a copy. The BBC documented and did everything on it. You know how the BBC is.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to send this letter today, and then I'm going to try to get a copy of this tape and send it to Don, S-W-E-A-T?
That's right.
Okay. And try to send it to Don Sweet in care of this. Is it all right if I send it to this post office box in Alma?
Yes, that would be fine.
If I send it to you, right?
Yeah, or you could send it overnight, or someone could maybe pick it up. Where are you at? In Little Rock?
North Little Rock, sir.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. How would you like to do it? Tell me.
When would you have it ready?
I can probably have it. I'm saying I can look for it now. I can probably have a copy in 2 or 3 hours.
Oh, I see. This is the BBC tape?
The BBC tape. It's a 30-minute tape, and they interviewed me for 3 hours, Don.
Yeah.
I'm only on it for a little over 3 minutes. So the reason I'm only on it for 3 minutes is because the other people were a lot more interesting than I was. You know what I'm saying? They come here, see, Timothy James McVeigh was getting ready to be executed. He threw in the towel. He just wanted to get it over with because he knew he was involved in enough, he was going to get executed.
Yeah.
Okay. He just threw in the towel and wanted to get executed and become a martyr. So anyway, the deal is, he's thrown in the towel. He could have pressed his case on for a while and kept it going for a while and maybe even got it overturned someday, but he just totally gave up. Now, a thing that's going to be interesting is I'm not into computers, like I said. I wish that I was. But anyway, I'm trying to get in touch with Terry Nichols. Now, I only met Terry Nichols once at a gun show. But Terry Nichols was involved in the DLT. But see, Terry Nichols, you don't hear much about him now. They'd rather get this story about this guy killing this girl and their little baby in California. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They'd rather get these jive stories on TV than real stories about real people and real things that have, especially government involvement. So the deal is, they want the press and the media to jump on and spend all their time and trouble on these crazy rabbit trails and stuff, while the government and the society is falling around us. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah, but I'm saying in 3 hours, I'm only on this tape for 3 minutes because everyone I told them about, which amazed me, they even went to Germany and talked to some people. They talked to a lot of people, and the people actually talked to them about the deal, which is what amazed me.
Right.
You know how factual the BBC is about things, how they document and check things out. But I'm saying, I got newspaper articles. I got a copy of my insurance form from State Farm, State Farm. But anyway, I was turned down for insurance because of my government involvement working undercover for the United States government. A copy of the insurance form where I was turned down because I worked undercover for the government.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, that's never happened to you, I don't think.
No.
Yeah. And I hope it never does. But anyway, the deal is things like that don't happen to the average American people.
That's right.
I do know a lot about it. That's why the FBI, they're not outside right now, but they stay around my house on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Keeping me under wraps or whatever. I'm sure that this phone conversation I'm talking to you right now is probably being recorded by some federal agency.
Right.
I'm saying I'm not recording it, and you have my permission to record anything I say to you, video me, do anything you want to. But like I said, my wife was looking into life insurance on me the other day because she has some bad feelings of impending doom. Now that I started telling people about my involvement and the things that happened that are not kosher that the United States government's been doing for years.
Right. Well, you know, that's the best way to protect yourself.
I agree. That's what I told Kathy Ferguson. I told her she needed to write all this stuff down and do some tapes and talk to some people and write all this stuff down about her involvement with Clinton, because in order to shut her up, they just killed her and nipped it in the bud before she could do what she wanted, you know, what she should have done.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying, if you wish to publish something about my son's case or my government involvement, I'm sure the government would have a whole lot harder time. That's what I told my wife. I told her, the government would have a whole lot harder time killing me if the information's out there, because some people, just like Tony Alamo, he's 100% correct. But there's probably 90% of the people in America will not believe that last newsletter that you put out, in my personal opinion. Probably 80 to 90% will not believe it, and it's 100% factual.
Right. Well, a lot of people are starting to wake up.
I believe there are, but what percent of the people would you say would believe what Tony Alamo wrote in that last newsletter that you put out?
I don't know, but I have seen a lot of people starting to come around, and then a lot of people are jumping on the bandwagon.
More and more, thanks to the internet and different things. I'm not in the internet. I wish I was, but like
right.
more and more people are coming around.
And
that's a good thing, and I'm saying you're helping it happen, obviously. You and your ministry are helping it happen, which is good, Don.
Right. Well, you know what it is people see that Pastor Lamo is coming out boldly and exposing these things, and it emboldens them.
I agree. That's what emboldened me a lot. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when I was reading, I was literally shaking when I was reading. My wife was wondering why I was so upset and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because he's 100% dead on the mark. And I was amazed that a person could be that accurate about that much stuff that the government's been involved with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I talked to members of your organization when I went with the federal agents to Alma, Arkansas. You know, we went to a restaurant. And everybody I talked to with this organization, just like your organization, was touting him up just like they did Tony Alamo. What a great person he was. There was only one person in the whole city of Alma, Arkansas, and I talked to about 15 or 20 people there the day I was there with federal agents. And this was in 1995. Now, it wasn't recent. But anyway, when I talked to about a dozen people in Alma, Arkansas, I only had one person in the city person that had something bad to say about Tony Alamo. And they said they thought he was running a cult. You know what I'm saying? One of the people in the city.
Right.
And that's the only bad, you know, I don't think that he is, but I'm just saying that's the only bad thing that I've ever heard about the guy. That's why I refused to target him or get involved or anything. I just went there with a couple of federal agents on a fact finding, and we just talked to people. There's, like I said, him and two other guys that I refused to frame are part of the reason. I'm not blaming him, I'm blaming myself for being involved with this corrupt government. But that's the reason that my son is squeaky clean and doing life without for murder. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
This is all my son's case. If you're on the internet, you can get on the internet. His name is John Christian. Have you got a pencil handy?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you again.
Yeah, yes, I do.
Okay. Anyway, let me try to pick up another phone and see if I can get you. Hello?
Yes.
Okay, this is a whole lot better. The battery must be going out on my walkabout phone. Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. But anyway, have you got a pencil and paper?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, my name is John Gary Peeler, and you got my name and address and phone number, right?
Right.
Okay. His name is John Christopher Peeler, and his number in the Bureau of Prisons, he's number 107832. You got that?
Right.
Okay. Barracks number 20. East Arkansas Regional Unit, Post Office Box 180, Brickey, Arkansas.
Yes, sir, thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry. Post Office Box EARU, East Arkansas Regional Unit, EARU.
Uh-huh.
Post Office Box 180, Brickey, Arkansas.
Brickey,
B-R-I-C-K-E-Y-S, Brickey's, Arkansas. 72320-0180.
72320-0180.
And what I'd like for you to do, this last newsletter, the one I just read that sent shivers down my spine.
Yeah.
If you would, I'd appreciate it if you'd mail him a copy of it.
Okay.
But anyway, what I'm saying is you're obviously an intelligent person, Don, and obviously you probably know how to use the internet, right?
A little bit, yes.
Okay, well, I'm not into it. I had a computer and gave it to a church because it like to drove me nuts, man. But I mean, I'm just not computer literate. I apologize for that. But anyway, I'm saying what you can do, you can get on the computer, and there's I forget where it's at, but you can find out about people in Arkansas prison and what they're in for. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And you have my permission. You can check that out. Well, you wouldn't have to have my permission there, but you do. But you can check that out. You can check me out. You can check anything out you want to, and I'll pray to God and thank you for it. You know what I'm saying? But the information, I've got some documentation. I don't have a whole lot, but I'll give you all the, I'll try to get together all the documentation I can and give it to you, because I'd like for you and your organization, obviously you're trying to shed the light on the government, get the truth out, and I'd love for you to be able to do it. I'm not trying to overthrow the government. I'm trying to get the people, to put some people in power that are not going to sell us out to the New World Order and this do away with the Christian ministries like Tony Alamo and stuff that are righteous people trying to do the right thing for people, and then they're too busy trying to set them up and do weird things to them.
Right.
Which is very unfortunate that society has gone that far downhill. I mean, like I said, I'm kind of a history buff and a history student, I belong, right now, I'm going to the American Institute. They're on the internet too, you can write this down. I'm a student at the American Institute of Holy Land Studies. Okay, right here in North Little Rock, Arkansas. They have an internet site, and I'm a student there, taking courses in ancient history and Bible history and all that sort of thing. In fact, I went to Israel last year with a church group, and you might have seen me on CNN News. Our church group was blown up by a suicide bomber. But I was outside the building when it happened. One of our ladies was inside the building and lost her eye and got shrapnel down her body and stuff. But see, I'm telling you the truth, I'm married to my fourth wife, who's a wonderful person, but she would not marry me till I no longer work for the United States government. Because she's like Pastor Alamo. She knew that the government was involved in too many, the United States government is gone way down here, involved in too much things. She would go with me and date me, but she wouldn't marry me till after I no longer worked for the United States government in any capacity. So we've been married for a little over a year now. A little over a year and 3 months ago, we were in Israel, and our group was blown up by a suicide bomber, and it was a terrible thing. You know what I'm saying? That there's the people with that much hate in their heart, and I'm sure that the government's going to knowingly allow and cause it to happen here in the near future in order to take over more power, Don.
Right, well, they probably had a hand in on that.
Well, you're right. The Oklahoma and Waco and the World Trade Center attack, all that is about the government wanting to take, just like Tony Alamo said in his newsletter, it's all about the government getting and wanting more power and more power and more power. Now they got this new Homeland Security Division and all this stuff, and they're getting more rampant and more rampant and more rampant. And one of these days, I'm afraid if it continues the way it is now, they're just going to send a SWAT team and take Tony Alamo down and then put the evidence there later. You know what I'm saying? Plant the evidence at the site.
Right.
And I was reading in the newspaper yesterday where a DA in Texas got busted for planting evidence on people on drug cases. You know, which amazed me that they even busted the guy for it instead of giving him metal for it, which is what the government usually does to people that do that sort of thing.
Right.
I mean, the wrong person must have found out about it, or something must have went wrong with the deal. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Because the only case I ever lost in court against a person was Tom Peterson, and the only reason I lost the case is because the government told me to lose. I mean, you can get a copy of that transcript, I'm sure. Probably from some legal foundation or something. But the only reason I lost the case is the Secret Service was there and wanted to lose the case. And the reason they wanted to lose the case is they wanted to follow Tom Peterson because he was dead set against Clinton. They wanted to follow him and find out all his contacts and all the people he was with to take them all out instead of just him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I mean, I believe everything that you're saying,
I
know.
What would you like to do about it, Don? Tell me.
Okay, well, let me find out the best place for you to send this tape. If you could get together, you know, the documentation that you do have.
Yeah.
And then I'll get back with you and give you the best place to send that so it would get to Pastor Alamo.
Okay.
You know, the quickest way.
Okay.
And
what I'm going to do, I've got one little letter with a few things in it.
Right.
In case I die or get killed before the day is over, I'm going to drop it in the mail to you right now.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Just a letter with just a few tidbits of information onto it. I'm going to write your name and Dr. Alamo's name on it. I mean, is your pastor or doctor? I forgot.
Pastor.
Okay. Anyway, Pastor Alamo, I'm going to write your name and his name on it and drop it in the mailbox immediately. And the reason I'm going to do that, in case I get, I'm not really paranoid, and I'm just telling you in case I get dead before the day is over.
Right.
Because the deal is the government is really, really upset about this information. And I'm sure they're going to be really, I'm sure right now people in federal offices are going bonkers over reading Alamo, the latest Alamo newsletter. But please, Don, about two copies to my son if you can. I would appreciate it. And he can pass them around the prison stuff because he's a political prisoner, in my personal opinion. But I'm saying he's not the only one in there, Don.
Right.
The people that are in there for political reasons, too. And they'd get a kick out of it because they'd know it's the truth, because people in those positions tend to know what's really happening sometimes. You know what I'm saying? And can read between the lines better than the people that have never been subjected to it.
Okay, let me make sure I've got his address correct.
Okay.
Okay, it's John Christopher Peeler.
That's correct. P-E-L-E-R, like a potato.
Okay. Is it got two E's?
Yeah, two E's.
Okay, P-E-E-L-E-R.
Right.
Okay, number 107-832.
That's correct.
Barracks number 20.
Yes.
East Arkansas Regional Unit.
Right.
Post Office Box 180.
Right.
Brickies, Arkansas.
Right.
72320-0180.
That's correct.
Okay.
And meanwhile, I'm going to be, while you're thinking about it and how to do it and so forth, talking to your people about it, I'm going to try to locate a copy of this tape. Now, if I send you the original tape that they gave me, can you make a copy of it and send one back to me or something?
I'm sure we did.
Okay. But anyway, because I had a couple of copies made, but I don't have a way to do that or anything, but I had a professional person I know make me a couple of copies, and I know I've got one left, but it might be the last one I've got, but I'm pretty sure I got one around here that I can find within the next 3 hours. But anyway, I'm going to get a copy of the tape. I'm going to try to make a copy of some of this material I have, the documentation and so forth. But meanwhile, I'm going to send you a real simple letter with 3 or 4 pages of information in it.
Well, maybe you can just send it on the same package.
I want to send you one right now before anything happens.
I see. Okay.
You know, and get something going.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to try to take more time and get the whole thing together. And however you and wherever you tell me to send it, I'll send it. However you want me to send it, I'll send it. But I'm going to get one in the mail right now, where in case something happens to me, you'll just at least have something.
Okay.
Because my wife has these bad feelings of impending doom, and like she went the other day, she hasn't done it yet, but she's talking to a guy about taking a life insurance policy out of me, because my brother, who refuses to get involved in this stuff because it scares the hell out of him, and my nephew, they said that the safest and best way that she could make money is not get involved in the stock market. The stock market is not doing now is to take a life insurance policy, because as soon as I start talking about my government involvement, I will probably be good and dead. I mean, I'm not suicidal, and I don't plan on committing suicide. Never have been, never want to be. But I'm saying there are people that I know for a fact, like Kathy Ferguson, they said committed suicide, who did not commit suicide.
Right.
Okay? But anyway, it's
or like the Branch Davidians.
You're exactly like the Branch, just like the Branch Davidian thing. I mean, before it happened, they told me they were going to kill David Koresh and as many of his followers as they could. And Bill, you remember seeing the movie about it? The TV things they showed.
Yeah, I've seen some of those things.
Okay.
Waco, the Big Lie.
Right, right. Have you seen where the guy climbs up the ladder with a black jacket and a ballistic vest on? He has an HK5 MP5 submachine gun, 9mm, and he's shooting down there, shooting up, and he comes back and slides down the ladder.
Right.
Okay, that was my boss. That was Bill Buford.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So it was Bill Buford, and the other one was who?
Glenn Jordan. Yeah.
Okay.
The two main setup. I mean, see, I worked for a task force of the government, and the task force was made out of all the different government agencies from the top to the bottom. In fact, it was called the Violent Crime Task Force, was only named VC, Violent Crime Task Force. But it was made up out of the CIA, which is not supposed to work in the United States until now. But now, you know, they legally can.
Right.
Did you know that? Since 9/11 and the Homeland Security Act, it's legal for them to bust people in the United States. It was not legal for them to bust people in the United States till then. But it is now. But that's a new law they changed, you know.
Uh-huh.
Losing your rights every day. But anyway, this task force I was made up, before it was legal to do so, it was made up of CIA, the Drug Enforcement Administration, the FBI, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, the state police, the local police, but the state police and local police, it wasn't all the state police, it wasn't all the local police, it was just certain key people that they knew and trusted that were the front men for them, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That would do or say or kill whatever needed to be done to get the thing done that the government wanted to done.
Right.
It wasn't just everybody with the state police or everybody with the Little Rock police or no Little Rock police. But let me tell you, obviously I've been talking to you for a while and you're an intelligent person, Don. Have you ever heard of anybody being convicted of murder with no body and zero forensic evidence, no eyewitnesses?
No.
Okay. Well, get on the computer and look at my son's case, and it will probably shock you a little bit. Maybe not as much as it would most people, because obviously you and Pastor Alamo know the truth, Don. But it should shock anybody in America. The BBC, they said they didn't think things like that happened in America. It was the exact thing they said to me.
Yeah.
They said America's really gone downhill. Things like that can happen. Because, you know, according to 613 laws in the Old Testament of the Jewish faith and stuff, in order to have a murder conviction, you had to have two people of good report that saw the event happen, that were a good repute, you know, honorable persons that saw it happen, or you didn't have a case.
That's right.
Yeah, but I'm saying times have gone downhill a lot since the 613 laws. But anyway, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Don. And like I said, I'm going to start digging some of this stuff and getting it together. And it's a pleasure talking to you. And I promise you that all this information I'm telling you is the truth and the whole truth. And I will try to get you as much information as I can. And if you can put it out, thank God for you.
Oh, well, that's great. And I'll definitely get it to Pastor Lamo, who'll know what to do with it.
Okay. Hey,
and then I'll find out what's the best way and place to send the information you're going to be working on putting together, and I'll get back with you.
Like I said, you're welcome. Come anytime you want to. You're welcome to come down here and talk to me personally. You can stay in my home if you want to. You're welcome to come here if you want to, anytime you want to, Don.
Well, you're welcome to come over here. You know, we have church here in Fort Smith. And
I would love to, but see, until you check out this deal and do this deal, I don't want you to think I'm trying to get in and bust you guys. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Because of my ex-government involvement and stuff. Like one fellow I talked to recently, he was kind of afraid of me. He said, well, you work for the government in all these different capacities and stuff. How do I know that you still don't work for the government?
Yeah.
Well, if I still worked for the government, I wouldn't have been in jail for 91 days for my son's case, but they dropped the charges against me because I told them when they took me to court, I was going to tell everything I knew about Oklahoma and the World Trade Center attack in Waco. So they dropped the charges against me, Don. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
They framed my son, but they had me charged with the same stuff they had him charged with, which was all bogus stuff. But they took him to court first. When they took him to court and convicted him with no real evidence, just hearsay knowledge of patsies for the government, I took it serious, and I had just had an appointed attorney, but I took it serious, and I called the Secret Service up and told them I was going to tell everything I knew about Clinton, about Oklahoma, about Waco, about the World Trade Center. I told them I was going to tell everything I knew, and they told me I wasn't going to court. They could promise me I wasn't going to court, but they didn't say that they were going to drop the charges against me. I thought they were going to kill me, to tell you the truth. But they promised me I wasn't going to court. And my lawyer, we went the wrong day, the wrong time, went to court. They dropped all the charges against me, Don.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want me to get in front of a jury and a judge and tell what I told them, no matter what they asked me, I was going to tell them about what was happening.
Right.
You know, and that's the whole story anyway. But hey, a pleasure talking to you. I'm gonna start getting this stuff together, but I'm gonna just drop a little letter in the mail.
Okay, great.
And Pastor Alamo.
And I can guarantee you, Pastor Alamo will know what to do because, you know, there's been several times before in the past in the history of the ministry where similar things have happened. Government agents
have
infiltrated
forward.
The church, and then they actually got saved. They saw that we were legitimate. Pastor Lamo preached the gospel and told people
saying,
the truth.
Obviously, he's a serious person, you know what I'm saying? And like I said, when I talked to people down there about him in Alma, I couldn't find any. I only found one person that had something bad to say with him, and that was a town person who probably might not have even been a Christian, you know what I'm saying?
He probably wasn't. Yeah. If it was the mayor or anybody there, we were in the process of suing them violating our civil rights because they were arresting people for distributing gospel literature, and we won the suit and went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
That you had a lawsuit over there. Hey, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Don. Like I said, I'm going to try to gather up some information. You stay in contact with me. I'm going to just drop a little letter in the mail to you. But I'm going to drop more later, but in case something happens, you'll at least have a little bit of it. And like I said, you're smart enough and your organization can check into this stuff and find out what's really happening.
Okay.
I'm saying, I'm willing to take a polygraph test or submit to any kind of interrogation you want, man.
Right.
This is not a joke, and the FBI is taking it so serious. When I went down a few weeks ago, well, they came here to my house and scared the hell out of my wife. Two great big guys with 10mm pistols, you know, in suits on.
Yeah.
Come up the driveway, and my wife said, well, someone's coming to see you. And I looked out the window, and she said, well, who's that? And I said, well, I don't know them personally, but it's the FBI. And she said, well, how do you know that? I said, well, after working with the government for many years, I can kind of tell. And she said, you don't know them personally? I said, no. He said, well, I need to go to the store. I said, well, don't go to the store right now, because they will probably shoot you and kill you if you jump and get in the car and take off. I said, wait till they come in. We'll talk to them for a while. So when they introduced me, I opened the door when they got there. They had their suits open with their big weapons showing and stuff. And anyway, they I invited them in, told them to come in. I'm welcome to talk to them, and I told them, this is my wife. We've been married for 1 year. She knows I don't tell her anything. She knows zero about what I'm involved in, about my government involvement. She wants to go to the store. I said, you can take her down and torture her all night long. And this was, I was making a joke with them. I said, you can torture her all night long, and she won't tell you anything because she doesn't know anything. And I said, can she leave right now? And they said, sure, we'd like that. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, and I said, you know, I was just making a joke out of it. You know, but I told them, let them know on the front end that she didn't know anything and I didn't tell her anything. The only thing she knows is what she hears me talking about on the phone to federal agents and things while I've worked with them and over the years and stuff. You know what I mean? I don't go out of my business to tell her things like I'm telling you because, to tell you the truth, it scares the hell out of her. It scares her really, really bad. You know, and she's concerned about her two children and her grandchildren and something happened to them just because they know me, which could happen, Don.
Right.
Bad thing about it. But anyway, I really appreciate you and your ministry and Pastor Alamo, and thank you very much for listening to me. I look forward to more contact with you and your ministry. Like I said, I don't have much money now. If I did, I'd send you some. But if you can ever write a book or do a movie or make any money about this, you're welcome to make as much money as you can out of it. You know what I'm saying? But at least you're getting the truth out and doing the right thing and doing what God would have you to do, sir.
Well, that's the important thing, and that's
God for you.
You know, and that's what will, that's the best protection you can get, too.
I agree.
You know, it's to get the truth out and expose things.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, Don, and thank you very much for you and your ministry.
Thank you very much for your time, and I'll
appreciate your time and trouble, because obviously you're a professional person. And your time is probably a lot more valuable than mine.
Well, I don't know about that, but, you know, it's all of our time is valuable when we're doing something for the Lord, you know. Pardon me?
How old are you?
I'm 52.
Well, that really, you don't sound like it. But anyway, I'm 54. But, I mean, you know, like Minnie Pearl said, if I knowed I was going to live this long, I would have took a lot better care of myself, Don.
Right.
But, I mean, I lose a whole lot of sleep over my son's case, knowing that if I had to work undercover for the government trying to do the right thing and trying to put the bad people in jail, that they wouldn't have framed him. You know what I'm saying? I lose
right.
a whole lot of sleep over that, Don. And it's a pleasure talking to you, sir. And thank you very much for you and your ministry.
Thank you very much, Mr. Peeler. And I'll get back with you on where to send this stuff, and we'll see what can be done to help out.
Okay.
Let people know these things and to help your son out, too.
Hey, thank you very much. God bless you.
Okay. Praise the Lord. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.